On today's episode of the Gary Zimak Show, we'll take a look at the parable of the seed growing secretly. We begin now, so get ready. Hey, how are you? Happy Thursday. Come on in. I was waiting for you. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church. And I'm so glad that you were able to join me this evening. Since today is Thursday, we're going to continue our recently resurrected feature, The Greatest Stories Ever Told, where we look at the parables of Jesus. And on tonight's show, we'll look at the story of the seed growing secretly. I don't think this is one of the Lord's bigger parables, and this is probably one that you may have missed, but the book that I'm using really goes into some detail in all of the parables, and I think it's a good idea to take a look at some of the ones we're not as familiar with, in addition to the ones that we are familiar with. And we'll also today look at the Mass readings for Thursday of the first week in Ordinary Time. So we got a lot to cover. As you listen to this program, I am probably either on my way back from Omaha, Nebraska, or I have landed and I'm on my way back home from the airport. I'm pre-recording these shows. I had the privilege last night of speaking to a Legatus chapter in Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm flying back today. See, this gets confusing because I'm really recording this before I leave, but I have to talk about it as if it's in the past. Pretty hard for somebody like me to do that, but I'm going to try my best to keep it straight. But I hope you're doing okay. I thank you for listening to the show. I thank you for supporting me for 5+ years now on Blog Talk Radio. Really amazing that we're able to do this program, that we have been able to do this program for so many years. I'm grateful to Almighty God for giving me the ability to do it and the desire, because I really do have the desire to keep this show going. And I am grateful for you for showing up each night, for listening, and for supporting me both financially and with your prayers, and also with your friendship. The emails that I get, the words of encouragement, they really mean a lot to me. And I wouldn't dream of giving this show up. As long as I can do it, I'm really going to keep doing it. It's a blessing to be able to it's a blessing to be able to talk. Wouldn't it be nice? I should pray for that. It's a blessing to be able to share this time with you each night, because we're talking about some really important things: Jesus Christ, his church, and how we can grow closer to him. And if you've been listening for the past week or so, you've been hearing me talk about the fact that I'm dedicating this new year, 2016, to improving our personal relationship with the Lord. I'm working on that in my own life, and I'd also like to bring you along with me. I'd like to dedicate this program and all of my work this year to helping people grow closer to Jesus Christ and to become good friends with him. So that's my objective. That's what I'd like to do on this show, and I'm glad that you're a part of it. We do this program, if you're a new listener, we do this program every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. The program is, the podcast of the program gets loaded up on Blog Talk Radio every evening, and you can either go directly to blogtalkradio.com. You can listen to the last 5 episodes of the program from my website, followingthetruth.com, or you can download it in iTunes as well. No matter how you do it, it's totally free of charge, and that's the way I'd like to keep it. So please spread the word, let your friends know about the show. I really have to say, I listen to a lot of Catholic radio, and I do a lot of Catholic radio, and I feel this program is unique. I don't think there's another show like it, where the readings are read and where in 30 minutes we have these different themes every night, and we have a regular Lenten and Advent radio retreat, which is a time set aside to grow closer to our Lord, in addition to total consecration, which I do every fall. So I like to think it's unique, and I would hope that you do too. That's why you tune in. But let your friends know about the show, because the more listeners I get, the better it is. I'm going to be here doing the show, whether it's for one person or 1,000 people. So you let your friends know that there's always room at the table here, so we could sit around and share our beverage, have our snack, whatever, talk about Jesus. We're just a couple of friends getting together, talking about the Lord. Today's beverage du jour, I'm going to take a sip of it now. All right, now I've had this on the air before. Let's see if I can describe this. It's 8 o'clock decaf coffee. if you're from the Northeast and you're somewhere about my age, maybe a little younger, you'll remember that there used to be a grocery store chain in the Northeast known as A&P. It was the Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company. They went by the name of A&P Grocery Stores. Well, they had this brand of coffee, 8 o'clock coffee, which was delicious. And at the time, and I remember this when I was a kid, you were able to grind your coffee right in the supermarket, which is a big deal. You'd get the whole bean coffee, and they'd have a grinder there, and they would grind it for you. And it was, man, did it smell good. And this coffee was available for years through this supermarket chain. Well, now, to the best of my knowledge, the chain is completely defunct, but the coffee is still available. So 8 o'clock coffee is available. It might be available across the country, for all I know, but it's really good stuff. Not as good as Mystic Monk, but that's what I have going today. And speaking of Mystic Monk coffee, by the way, if you're interested in getting yourself some of the greatest coffee that you've ever had, I would invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and click on the Mystic Monk image. And when you do that, you're going to be taken into a coffee lover's, you're going to be taken into a coffee lover's paradise. The website of Mystic Monk Coffee. Now, these are real Carmelite monks. They live in Wyoming, and they brew some of the finest coffee that you've ever tasted. Whenever you purchase any coffee from them using the link on my website, it results in a small commission for me. So therefore, you help to keep this program on the air. You help the monks to support themselves. And what do you get in return? You get some great coffee. So please check it out today. Mystic Monk Coffee, available at followingthetruth.com. And also, if you shop at all from Amazon, amazon.com, you could really help me. And again, this keeps my program on the air by going to the website, followingthetruth.com, which is my main website. And instead of just entering into amazon.com directly, if you would use the link on my website to go into Amazon, anything you purchase results in a commission for me as well. Not as big as the Mystic Monk Coffee commission, but so many people purchase from Amazon, so anything I can do would be very much, is a very big help, and I greatly appreciate it. There's no difference in the prices for you. I don't get to see all the things that you purchase. I just know that a commission comes in into my account, so whenever you do that, it helps me out financially. So if you could remember that, it would really be a big help. I'm going to be pushing that more in the new year as a way to keep this program on the air and to keep my ministry up and running. I make no secret of the fact that the Zimak family lives month to month. We've been doing it for 4 years now. It's getting more challenging, though, due to the fact that I've had to tap into the little retirement account that I have. And again, I like to be totally transparent with you. I want you to know what this is all about. I want you to know that I have a need here. I want you to know that I really care about you and that I wanted to keep doing this show. But I also want to give you a chance to help me keep it on the air. And due to the fact that you respond so graciously, it lets me know that you really do care. And I'm very thankful for your help. So at any rate, these little things help, as well as the donations do. The donations are very much needed, and you can make them as well by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on the Donate tab. And, you know, again, I don't like to talk about it, but this is the way that I can keep going financially, is to ask for your help. And you've been responding, and I'm very, very thankful for that. But I always like to tell you, and I'm going to keep saying it, don't put yourself in any financial jeopardy to help me out. You need to pay your bills. You have responsibilities. The Lord wants you to pay your bills and take care of your family first. But if you're able to help me as well, I'd be very grateful and appreciative. Okay, so that's the deal we have. You don't take a risk with the money that you need to live your life and to pay your bills. But if you're able to help out financially or by using my Amazon links or Mystic Monk Coffee links, I'm very thankful. Okay, one more sip of the coffee. Let's pray. And then we'll get started with the program. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, as we begin our prayer tonight, we place ourselves in your presence. We pause and call to mind the fact that you hear every word that we say. Whenever we pray, you hear it. We know, according to the message given to us by your Son, Jesus, that when we ask, we will receive. So we're very appreciative of that. And we also come to you with anticipation and confidence. We pray with confidence because we know when we ask, we will receive. Now, as to what we'll receive, we leave that up to you, Father. We submit to your will. We know that you love us. We know that you only want what is best for us. We know that you'll never give us anything that's harmful. So with that in mind, we ask you to bless us, to bless our family members, to bless all of those around us, to help us as we continue our journey to walk the road that will one day lead to eternal life in heaven. Father, we ask you to help those who are sick, help those who are anxious, lonely, those who are dealing with doubt or despair, those who are suffering from addiction. We ask you to help those who are dealing with financial difficulties, those who are living in extreme poverty, those who are homeless, those who are confined to their homes and are homebound, those who are facing religious persecution or dealing with an extreme weather condition. We ask you to help them and to let them feel your peace. We also present to you our own personal intentions, especially those which can be a big distraction and can cause us to take our eyes off of you. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and we ask for her prayers. As we pray together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. I just want to mention one thing that I think I neglected to mention at the top of the program. February the 10th, that's Ash Wednesday, that's when we kick off our Lenten radio retreat. And on Friday, see, here's one of the benefits of listening to this show. On Friday, this Friday, I'm going to reveal to you the book that we'll be using on the program, and I'll let you know where you can get a free copy of that book. Now, I want to say that I'm going to at some point be blogging about this as well, announcing it on my website, but I'm not going to do it until after Friday. So you're going to find out first. You're going to find out first what book we will be using for our Lenten radio retreat. And I think you're going to really like it. So stay tuned Friday for that information. That's tomorrow, isn't it? Wow, yeah. See, I'm doing these shows ahead of time, so I'm a little confused. But yes, tomorrow I will announce what book that we're using, and I really do think you're going to like it. So, by the way, if there's anything I can do for you, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, my email address is gary@followingthetruth.com. gary@followingthetruth.com. That's how you can get in touch with me if you want to bring me into your parish as a speaker. Now, for a limited time only, I'm going to be offering talks at no fee. It's a limited time. I can't keep doing it forever because I need to earn a living, but I'm offering to come into parishes and give talks at no charge. The only thing I'm going to ask is that you pick up my plane fare, my lodging, my meals, and let me take up a free will collection and sell my books at the talk. But and this is in conjunction with my new book that's coming out, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. I want to make sure that I can get the message out to as many people as possible. So you let your priest know, you let your DREs know, you let your adult faith formation directors, whoever books speakers, let them know that it is possible for me to come out and give a talk and do a book signing for no fee, for a limited time only. And again, I haven't gone public with this except on this program. So you're hearing this information. Why? Because you show up each night and you listen to the program, and I know you're really into my message and the work that I do, because otherwise you wouldn't listen, right? So you're getting some advanced information. So I thank you for considering that. Okay, let's do these mass readings now. This is Thursday, January the 14th, the first week in ordinary time. The first reading, as it has been all week, is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 4, 1 through 11. The Philistines gathered for an attack on Israel. Israel went out to engage them in battle and camped at Ebenezer, while the Philistines camped at Aphek. The Philistines then drew up in battle formation against Israel. After a fierce struggle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who slew about 4,000 men on the battlefield. When the troops returned to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord permitted us to be defeated today by the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Lord from Shiloh, that it may go into battle among us and save us from the grasp of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh and brought from there the Ark of the Lord of Hosts, who is enthroned upon the cherubim. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were with the Ark of God. When the Ark of the Lord arrived in the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth resounded. The Philistines, hearing the noise of shouting, asked, "What can this loud shouting in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" On learning that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were frightened. They said, "Gods have come to their camp." They said also, "Woe to us! This has never happened before. Woe to us! Who can deliver us from the power of these mighty gods? Who are the gods that struck the Egyptians with various plagues? These are the gods that struck the Egyptians with various plagues and with pestilence. Take courage and be manly, Philistines. Otherwise, you will become slaves to the Hebrews, as they were your slaves. So fight manfully." The Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. Every man fled to his own tent. It was a disastrous defeat in which Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were among the dead. Now, man, isn't that an uplifting first reading? You know, sometimes these readings don't seem to have a happy ending. But we have to remember that throughout their history, the Israelites many times turned away from the Lord. And generally what happens is when they turned away from the Lord, when they thought they didn't need him anymore, he would allow something to happen to them to remind them that they really do need him. And this is very much a repeated theme throughout the Old Testament. So this is a common and repeated theme that we see over and over again. Now, eventually, what's going to happen is Israel will make out okay. They will once again be victorious, but it's going to take a while. And it's a reminder to us that we need a Savior. We cannot redeem ourselves. But because Jesus Christ came to earth to redeem us and to suffer, to die on the cross and rise from the dead, it's now possible for you and I to go to heaven. We couldn't have done that by ourselves. So in a lot of ways, we are similar to the Israelites who needed the Lord's help. Who needed the Lord's help and are dependent upon him. And that's all of us. We all need him. We all need him to help us as we try to get to heaven, because we're not going to get there without his grace. We're not going to get there without the victory that he won for us on the cross 2,000 years ago on Calvary. The responsorial psalm kind of reminds us of this need. It's from Psalm 44, "Redeem us, Lord, because of your mercy. Yet now you have cast us off and put us in disgrace, and you go not forth with our armies. You have let us be driven back by our foes. Those who hated us plundered us at will. You made us the reproach of our neighbors, the mockery and the scorn of those around us. You made us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. Why do you hide your face, forgetting our woe and our oppression? For our souls are bowed down to the dust. Our bodies are pressed to the earth. Redeem us, Lord, because of your mercy." Just a few short weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of our Redeemer, of Jesus. He came into our world to suffer, to die, and to rise from the dead for our sake. And he also spoke many words that are recorded in the pages of the Bible. Words that if we open up the Bible and we make an attempt to listen, words that are directed to each one of us. These words were written with us in mind. And with that in mind, let's look at the gospel. We're still in the first chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. A leper came to him and kneeling down begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. Then he said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. I love the way that this gospel passage begins. A leper came down to Jesus, and he knelt down. Check this out. He knelt down, and he begged him. He didn't demand anything. He didn't even remain on his feet. He knelt down before Jesus, and he begged him. And his words are really powerful. His words illustrate a very strong faith. "If you wish, you can make me clean." He didn't say to Jesus, "Do you think maybe you can make me clean? I'm not sure if you can do it, but if you can, you can make me clean." He didn't demand, "Make me clean, get rid of my leprosy." He said, "If you wish it, you can make me clean." In other words, he knew full well that Jesus was capable of healing him. But he said, "If it's your will, Lord, I know you can make me clean." And right after that, we see that Jesus was moved with pity. He cared, just as he cares about you. And Jesus stretched out his hand, and he touched the man and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. You and I need to look at this gospel story and read it over and over again, especially during those moments when we begin to doubt. When we begin to doubt in the Lord's power to fix the problems in our lives, no matter how difficult they are, no matter how challenging they are, the Lord can fix it. Do you believe it? Do you believe that with God all things are possible? I know that's what Scripture says, but do you believe it? And that's something we can work on. That comes from having a personal relationship with Jesus. And the more you get to know him, the more you read stories like this. That's why it's so important to read the Gospels, because this is how our faith grows. And it's not just a matter of reading it. It's not just a matter of reading it as I would read any biography. It's when I read this story, when I let the words of this page sink into my heart, that is the Lord speaking directly to me. So basically, what we have here is the Lord telling us, reminding us, that he can fix any problem in our lives as long as we trust him, as long as we believe that he can do it. And let's be honest, if we don't believe it, we're not going to pray with the intensity that we should. So it's critical that we do believe. Let's do it gradually. Let's do it gradually. And let's take it one day at a time and ask the Lord to help us to believe more strongly in him. Now, I would like to shift gears now and for the remaining time of the program, take a look at one of the greatest stories ever told. I mentioned last week, this was a series that I had done a while back on the show several years ago. And what I'm doing is using a book that was originally published in, when was this published? 1940. It was originally called The Parables of Christ. It's now called The Greatest Stories Ever Told. This is a reprinted edition. It was put out a few years ago by the Newman Press. I do not believe they're in business, or I think they may have been bought by Tan Books. So this may be still available. I'm not sure. But it's a really neat book, and it talks about the different parables of Jesus. The one I wanted to discuss today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. Not one of the better-known parables. It's called The Seed Growing Secretly. Let me read this to you. The kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He knows not how. The earth yields its yields crops of its own accord, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the crop is ripe, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now, a little bit of an analysis. This parable, which is recorded by St. Mark only, that's something unusual, a parable that's unique to Mark, belongs to the group of similar discourses handed down by St. Matthew and by St. Luke. And it was therefore spoken by our Lord when he was teaching in Galilee on the western shore of the lake of Gennesaret during the early part of his public ministry. It was addressed to the disciples with a further explanation of the figurative discourses that had just preceded, which the master had delivered to the people. The Lord wished to say here that what happens to seed which a sower casts into the ground will happen also in its own way to the gospel message, which he was then revealing and implanting in his church, the kingdom of God, which he was establishing here on earth. So the Lord was trying to teach his apostles something, and he used this story. Let's see. The Lord doubtless explained to his disciples the meaning of this parable, as well as that of the sower, which he had given to the people without explanation. But the evangelists have not told us what he said here. From the context, however, we can easily gather what the parable was intended to teach. As the sower put his seed into the ground and then withdrew from his field until the time of the harvest, so our Lord revealed and preached the gospel of his kingdom, the church on earth, committed it to his chosen disciples and their successors, and then withdrew his visible presence and special intervention. But as it was necessary for the farmer first to prepare his field and sow his seed, so in the beginning it was necessary that our Lord himself should establish and endow his church. Further personal and outward interference on his part, however, would not be required for that development, which would go on and spread over the world by its own intrinsic divine force and power, by reason of the original organization which he gave it, and the unseen spiritual helps which his Spirit would evermore communicate to it. Thus the church would grow and progress from small beginnings to great proportions, like the seed in the ground, sprouting and growing and developing into a rich and bountiful harvest. But at the end of the world, the Master will again appear, like the sower at harvest time, to gather the fruits of his kingdom. This parable was especially intended for the instruction of the disciples, whose ideas of the messianic kingdom were material and worldly. From this discourse, they were therefore to understand that the church, instead of being manifested with worldly splendor, was to be lowly and insignificant at the start, that after its foundation by the Messiah, it would not need his visible presence any longer, that in spite of sufferings and persecutions, it would increase and spread throughout the earth until the end of time. So this is a really great story for us to consider today, and it's one that you may have missed. It's a simple one, but it's a good reminder for us that the Lord planted the seeds of his church while he was here on earth, and now, even though he's not visibly present, the church continues to grow. It's a really great thing, and it's a really great blessing that we have the church. All right, I am out of time. I thank you for tuning in tonight. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow, and I hope you can join me as well. Have a great night, and God bless you.